It is Monday morning, and we are here for the first annual Linoleum Knife post-Oscar autopsy.
Well, you think this is going to be annual?
Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't want to do it the first time.
But here we are.
Sorry, a cough now.
Like I said, it's early in the morning.
I need my tea. Mm-hmm.
Across the table from me is Dave White, film critic for Movies.com.
Today's tea. It's a nice Lapsang Souchong.
That's nice.
It's smoky and burnt. It smells like burnt leaves. Here, smell this.
Okay. Oh, it does. It smells burny.
All it's right. Fancy. It's from American Tea Room in Beverly Hills. I should get a discount for name checking them. That's my favorite tea place because you walk in there, they have 1,000 teas on the wall. Mm. And some fancy gays. I mean, I assume they're gays. Mm. They act all gay. Some fancy gays who, no, they run the place. Yeah. They're very solicitous about their tea. Like they're super knowledgeable and you say, I enjoy a blah, blah, blah kind of tea. And then they have all these recommendations. It's like in old movies where you see fancy ladies going into dress shops and they bring out this entire like line for them to look at.
Like in the women?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, and that's how they are at this, at American Tea Room. They take care of you.
Oh, that's good.
And your tea needs.
See, now, if you were a drinking man, you would have to be drinking like
I drink single, things.
But like hardcore.
I was told by somebody that because I like this sort of thing.
Oh, that's what I was about to
say. That you I like really roasty, smoky teas.
You would like those scotches.
That I would like scotch. That I would like actual like hard alcohol.
That tastes like peat moss on fire.
But I've never, honestly, in my life, I think I've tasted that stuff, that whiskey, like one time. Mm-hmm. Or scotch. Or it's the same thing, right? Scotch and whiskey are the same thing.
I think
I'm being laughed at right now.
There's some difference, but I don't know either. So
I drink beer. And wine at dinner for my heart health.
Yes.
And
but I had a sip once of my brother likes those sort of single malt blah 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 peaty, you know, scotches, and it was like that. It was like, wow, there's a leaf fire going on in my mouth.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I like that.
So anyway, so that
tea. That doesn't have anything to do with the Oscars.
No, it doesn't.
But I'm way more interested in talking about tea.
And you could introduce me while you're at
the Oscars. Oh yeah, Alonzo Duralding.
Thank you.
That's the other guy talking to you.
So, yeah, Oscars 2011 are over, thank God, because I don't care about the Academy Awards anymore.
Then why are we doing this? Why are we having this conversation?
Because in the industry that we are in, which is writing about movies, this is sort of the inescapable.
Is that an industry?
Well,
is writing about movies an industry?
It's a pursuit, let's
I don't know
say.
That it's. I don't know that anyone in the actual film business thinks of us as part of, you know, the industry, unless we were junket press, and then our job would be to promote the movies.
Well, nonetheless,
and be quoted in the I Am Number 4 ad.
I'm not saying we're part of the film industry, but I'm saying that the job that we do writing about the film industry, this is sort of the big thing of the year, and an astonishing amount.
I just think it's funny that you're acting all exasperated that we're even here talking about it when you're the one that wanted to do it.
I did want to do it, but I'm just saying. I'm sick of by the end of award season, it's been going on for so long at this point, and people have devoted so much time and energy to it that it's just like, oh God.
I'll stay away from the mic. I know you're adjusting my levels because I'm talking too close.
Be over already. You know.
It's over.
Yes,
and we had a small gathering of friends over here, and I wore my pajamas, and we had Frito pie. It was so good. And I had a British friend ask me what Frito pie was.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you explain it to her, if she happens to be listening? Apparently, England doesn't have Frito pie.
Do they have Fritos?
I don't even know if they have Fritos.
That would be a big problem.
You can get Fritos over there, I bet.
Well, yeah, like for $20 a bag at Harrods or whatever. That violates the whole premise of Frito
pie.
Well,
who knows? I haven't been there in 20 years. They might have Fritos at the... You know, what's their grocery store?
Tesco?
Is that the grocery store that came over here and is called Fresh and Easy?
Yeah, Tesco.
It's better over there. Mm. It's like a regular grocery store over there.
And I only know about Tesco because in the Spice Girls version of Christmas wrapping, They make some comment about going to Tesco, and instead of forgetting the cranberries, they forgot the chestnuts, you know, because it's a British version of the song. The fact that we are talking about everything on Earth except the Academy Awards should tell you something about how
I had a good time.
Your show was.
I had a good time watching that show. I read your thing just now on Movie Phone.
Oh, thank you.
Not Movie Lion.
I still write for them, but
he's the Movie Line DVD editor, but he is also a contributor to Movie Phone. Not to be confused with what I write for, which is movies.com.
Where I also occasionally write.
Where he also contributes. But the thing you wrote on Movie Phone this morning, I don't agree with you. I enjoyed sitting on the couch. I enjoyed the Frito pie. I enjoyed James Franco looking baked. I enjoyed, allegedly. I don't know if he is or not, but if he was, I mean, it would be cool if he was. Like if he was like, I'm real lifted and I'm hosting. That would be funny.
I've never seen anybody like short of a bad Saturday Night Live guest host so obviously reading off of a teleprompter. Like his eyes were just always like off to the side, and he was just kind of like blah, 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 blah. It was terrible. I'm sorry. Like Anne Hathaway bothered to like
she was excited to be there.
Bring some spark to the thing.
I think her job was to be excited and his was to be like his job was to bro it up.
But he could have
I think he thought the whole night was that King speech clip where he just gets on the mic and goes, "What's up?" Like that was what his job was. I was okay with that.
But he could have been. I mean, look, if the idea was that he was going to be, you know, dry or, you know, sardonic or droll or whatever, fine. But I don't even think he was that. It really just felt like he was like, "What's going on?" I don't know. It didn't work for me at all.
I had a good time,
and I thought the show was so crappy. Like it was, you know, every year the Academy Awards.
I like the part where his grandmother got up and said, "I see Marky Mark." Anytime you can goof on Mark Wahlberg and call him Marky Mark to his face and get away with it, first of all, that just means you're a really old lady because he's not going to punch
everybody
you
in the face.
Yeah. But
but here's the thing. They always complain about how the show runs so long, blah, blah, blah. But they this always...
This just at a normal time.
No, this was actually one of the shorter ones.
Yeah, nice.
But my point is that the show is so padded with these like Hollywood and its classic blah 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 blah.
There wasn't much of that either, right?
There was a lot of that.
There was.
I mean, well, the whole thing with dead Bob Hope's hologram and with like.
But I like holograms.
You know, at the time you said you thought it looked weird.
It does look weird. That's why I liked it.
You know, the whole thing with like. You know, Tom Hanks talking about only four films have ever won Best Picture, Cinematography, and Art Direction. I'm like, who sat down and came up with that statistic? And what does it mean? You know?
It doesn't mean anything. It's a way. I think the little history lessons that they give during the show are good because they remind people that stuff didn't just happen this year.
But you know what?
And that there were movies that were made before they were born.
But look,
think about my sister-in-law who won't go see a black and white movie.
Look,
or sit down and watch.
You are preaching to the choir on that. You know how I am about old movies. I love old movies. I love, you know, any way to plug them. Sure, but I always feel like that during the Oscars, that it's like, okay, think of it this way: when you watch the Tonys or you watch the Grammys,
I don't.
You watched the Grammys this year.
I watched the Lady Gaga and the Hussein Shalyan egg.
You watched most of the Grammys this year. Don't front for company.
I'm not fronting for company.
Anyway.
I was doing other things.
When you watch those shows are about what happened in the last year in the industry. And it's about, you know.
That's fine.
You know, and it's like, I feel like, why think of all the movies that we love.
I think if the Grammys did explain jazz to people, like you said, they should. That people would know who Esperanza Spalding was.
Yeah, true. No, I didn't say they should. I'm just saying they don't do it. And like with the Academy, every year it's like, you know, in 1939, blah, 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 blah.
There were these movies.
You know.
One was Gone with the Wind.
Wouldn't you have been happy?
Gary Cotty last night was like, how? I've never seen that movie. And I was like, it's 4 hours long. And he was like, and I'm never going to.
wouldn't you have enjoyed it if the Oscars had done a tribute to, you know, like the movies of 2011 that, you know, that people talked about that we didn't nominate. And they had brought
They're never going to do that.
They showed clips from The Human Centipede and Trash Humpers.
Speed!
There seems like there, you know,
that's not, yeah.
There's plenty they could have been talking about. You know, they didn't even, they like, I don't know. I love old movies. I love anything that gets people to see old movies. I don't know that showing clips on the Oscars does that. And I don't know why You know, literally, they opened the show with Gone with the Wind. They closed the show with the kids from PS-122.
PS-22. Yeah.
Singing, you know, Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. So, like, so great. So it's bracketed by two movies from 1939 in a show that's supposed to be about the best cinematic achievements of 2010. I don't know.
Who
I don't,
cares?
I don't get it. It seems
Jennifer
like,
Hudson looked really good in her dress.
Yeah, she did. It was a cool dress.
I'm changing the subject.
Yeah, clearly.
I like, because there's nothing to talk about really except outfits. Anymore.
Well, that's all and that's left that's interesting.
She
because,
walked out in the giant dress and she's like, check it, I'm a big tangerine.
Yeah, and
what you got.
And look at how much weight I lost. Thank you, Weight Watchers.
No, that's not the point. The point is not how much weight she lost. The point is how she is like, she moves like she owns everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, that couture is not designed generally for people who are shaped the way she
The year she won, she was still fat. She came out looking crazy like she was in La Belle in 1972.
I know. She had the metallic bolero jacket. But the dress she was wearing this year. But the dress that she was wearing this year specifically was designed to be like, check it out. I'm thin. I can wear this shit.
Okay, well, sure. But that's not, again. She's always looked really groovy.
Absolutely. I'm not one of those people that's like, she's so hot now. No, I've always thought she was attractive. I've always thought that she pulled off these looks. But that look specifically is a look that's designed to be like, check it, sleek, you know.
There were lots of highlights. There were many important, exciting
moments. You were saying
earlier that she was one of them.
That the fashions are all that's left to talk about, because by the time the Oscars happen, we've sat through how many like friggin' award shows at this point. You know, they start giving out these awards in like September now. You know, and then you've got all the critics groups and the Golden Globes and the.
I've already mentioned three things that I like. I like James Franco.
You're wrong.
Hi. I like James Franco's grandmother.
She was lovely for 20 seconds.
I like Jennifer Hudson.
Yes.
I like Cate Blanchett in her crazy dress.
In her armoire.
That's an amazing. That's the best dress that I saw on any woman. That is almost as good. That was almost as good as Swinton in the Lanvin trash bag. That she had on that time. That was almost as good as that.
Yeah, Blanchett was definitely being fashion forward, and
I liked that worked. Wolfman won an Oscar. I like that.
God, Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
How the hell did that win two Oscars? That movie was awful, and it was awful to look at.
Mm-hmm. It had cool costumes.
I guess, there were a lot of ones where I was like, "Really, you're going to pick that one of this category?" There was something else where it was like, It was...
Stop stealing my Wolfman thunder. I like that they had an achievement in hair.
Makeup.
Same thing. And I like that it was the most boring movie of the year to get an Oscar. That was my favorite boring horror movie of the year. There weren't a lot.
Because it was like a boring Hammer movie.
It was like a boring Hammer movie. Yeah.
Not that all Hammer movies are boring.
No, they're not.
It was specifically like a boring Hammer movie.
Have you seen The Gorgon, by the way? The Gorgon is amazing. That's a Hammer movie.
Yes.
And not boring. That's a lady with snakes on her head that gorgons you all over the place.
And turns you to stone.
And at the end, I'll spoil it because there's nothing that can spoil the grooviness of this film. They chop off her head. And
the end.
The end. And it's such a good movie that I think the Cinematheque is about to show it, right?
Are they?
I think so. I think they have like a new print or something.
So funny. Okay, we should go.
And so... That is an awesome movie.
Here's a question I have, because usually one of the things that is reliably entertaining about the Oscars is like the
when my tea mug bumps into the microphone, can you hear it?
Barely.
Okay.
Is the bad outfits are all like the sort of the fun thing to talk about? They say
there weren't really many.
Anybody? I mean, even Sharon Stone's little Oscar action.
Was cool. Hers. She looked cool.
She's starting to look like the Dowager Empress, you know?
That's
like,
all right.
She's starting to look like Miss Havisham or something. Like, she just has this sort of, like, crazy-eyed fragility to her that's like, oh, honey.
All the guys are playing it real safe with their tuxes.
There were no wacky
tuxedos.
Who had the Tom Ford tux with the lapels out to his shoulders?
Justin Timberlake, those giant lapels, those were kind of rad.
Yeah.
That's
the kind of thing you wear when you know that you're not going to wear that ever again.
Right.
If you're buying a tuxedo that's supposed to last you like 10 years, you're not going to get those lapels.
Pardon me, I have a coughing thing I have to do again. Talk, say something.
I don't know. you know, the this year the Academy made a few sort of bold nominations. It was kind of like, wow, not everyone in this group is 80. But then, of course, none of those won. Namely, Exit Through the Gift Shop getting a documentary nomination. Although,
I'm glad it didn't win.
Although I'm thrilled that Inside Job won. I love that movie, and I want more people to see it. They nominated Dogtooth in Best Foreign Film, but we knew that didn't have a chance. And my favorite movie of 2010, I Am Love, got a costume nomination, which it lost to stupid Alice in Wonderland.
Natalie Portman did shout out to the Rodarte sisters.
Did she?
She said their names. That's what I said when I was across the room. I was like, you know who the Malevis are? And you were like,
I didn't hear
she
you.
She named them by their actual
oh,
names.
Oh, that's nice. Cause,
not by Rodarte.
Well, I'll tell you, but I mean, I know Gary Cotti, our friend who is a graduate of the DGA trainee program.
He's not just a graduate of the DGA program. He works in film and television.
Well, I was getting to that.
Okay.
God. Drink your tea and shut your hole. Gary Cotti, who is working in television as a second AD right now, was thrilled that Natalie Portman named her first AD of Black Swan her acceptance speech. Whereas I have to say, as a more John Q. Public viewer of the Oscars, I feel like once she starts thanking hair, makeup, and the first AD, it's time to play her off.
Nobody ever thanks those people, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's
you
not,
should thank those people.
I think
it's nice to thank people.
Thank you. I like. Is it the Webbies where you get
send them a little gift, maybe too?
That you should totally do. Is it the Webbies where you only get two words in your thank you speech?
Really?
Yeah.
Thank and you.
Well, you can say thank you, or you can say like any two words you want, but you get
hacha.
Two words.
Does that count as one or two?
I
words?
Don't know. Maybe if you hyphenate it, but. So, you know, I really, sometime about hour three of the Academy Awards, I really started thinking, ooh, I wish they had the two-word thank you award speeches like the Webbies do.
I wish they had more of a parade of old people.
Yeah.
I always like it when they do that.
Yeah.
Remember for a while they're bringing out all the old people on stage? Like, she won an Oscar in 1942 for a film you've never heard of.
Yeah,
there was. Then she quit acting. There was one
year where there were just rows and rows of Oscar winners. And it was great because, like, at one point they got to Shirley Temple and everybody was like, like, you could tell there was this sort of like, A, wow, she looks good. And B, oh she's alive.
She's 80 something, right?
Maybe
even older than that.
Older than that, probably. Because she was a tyke in the 30s. Maybe she's 80 something. I don't know. I'd look it up.
A tyke.
She was a wee slip of a girl. She started making movies when she was like two. So, you know.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, Kirk Douglas was definitely a highlight. I thought he was hilarious and totally knew exactly what he was doing and working the room, which was hysterical.
I like those bulletproof old people.
Yeah.
When you just are like, they're
no one's taking them off stage.
Been through hell, and they're like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I'm going to pinch this Anne Hathaway on the butt.
I never won one of these things, so I'm going to take this moment and make it last. Now, I can't remember who won in the supportings last year that didn't present this year. Well, Monique for
she
supporting.
She doesn't care.
Yes, somebody said she's got to get paid or she doesn't show up.
Right.
So she wasn't there. But then who won Best Supporting Actor last year? Because that's normally who would present to the Best Supporting Actor.
I don't know.
It wasn't Javier Bardem. That was 2 years ago.
I don't know.
That's the other thing about the Academy Awards. A year later, you're like, who won last year? I don't even know.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
You know, I thought Jeff Bridges and Sandra Bullock were funny in their presentations.
Right.
There were some moments, but it's funny. I mean, I've been reluctant to hop onto the worst Oscars ever bandwagon that I've been seeing online, which like Ebert and a bunch of other people said, because I remember
there are going to be many more that are going to be much worse.
I still remember the infamous 1989 Oscar ceremony, the one that Alan Carr produced, the Rob Lowe dances with Snow White one.
I would like to watch that.
That was did you not see it then?
I don't think I watched it.
It was
1989.
Crazy.
You know where I was? I was in England, and they were not like.
Oh my god, that was a nutty year, and that was a big parade of oldies. You would have enjoyed that. He trotted out all these sort of like old famous screen couples that were still alive.
Old people handle it.
And I remember, you're not going to
young it up. You're not going to hip it up.
Well, they tried this year, clearly.
Right. And all it does, the machine is old, and all it does is accentuate that when you have someone coming out making.
Here's our hot hip host for a 3.5-hour tribute to the King's Speech.
And so I say let the old people have it and let it be a show about old people. doing, you know, old people things, and let Kirk Douglas be the host, and and let, you know, Ernest Borgnine sing, and whoever else wants to be on, any old person that wants to be on the show,
right,
can just volunteer and be like, I'll take this. Like, let them direct it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it. June Allison.
I'm all for that. Give it to the old people exclusively one year. Even if they nominate young, cool things.
Right. Because they won't win anyway. Let the old
people run it. Yeah. Let the old people run it. It'd be fun to watch. It'd be how much fun was Kirk Douglas? The most fun of the entire night.
Pretty much.
And it wasn't because people were laughing at him. They were on board. They were on his side. They were on his team. Like, they were like, do it, old dude. Like, be awesome. And he was. And
stick
so
it to the young man.
I say let the old people handle it.
Yeah, because there's no pretending that this isn't going to be like a ferociously middle brow, safe, you know, grandma friendly outcome. Because, you know,
except when people say the F word.
Well, yeah. But I mean, seriously, if The Social Network is too edgy for these people. I mean, I like The Social Network, but
yeah, if anybody was robbed last night, it was David Fincher.
Yeah.
Because his making that movie and making it into something was a much harder deal than making the King's Speech into something.
Yeah, and it's like,
you know, like, and how many times did I tell you last year, I don't care about seeing a movie about Facebook. I don't care about seeing a movie about Facebook. Who cares about Facebook? Other than when I'm posting it and I want everyone to notice the thing I said and have lots of comments.
But, you know,
I don't care about the origins of it. And he made me super into it. And it's so many things, that movie.
Yeah, and Hollywood of yore used to make those kind of movies all the time. Movies that were about current events and, like, you know, ripped from the headlines and sort of, you know, things that had happened recently that people were still interested in and talking about. And then that suddenly that became the domain of television.
Right.
And so, yeah, for him to do that kind of movie and to make it so interesting.
Like All the President's Men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's he did an extraordinary job. And there's real craft there. I mean, like, the King's Speech, I never loved The King's Speech. The whole time I've been saying that it's a well-made film.
It's a lovely film. Lovely film.
It's a well-made film. But that's it. It's just like, it's nice. There's nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing that exciting about it. So I figure, of course, you're going to get Best Picture because it's that. But yeah, Best Director, that was ridiculous. But of course, the Oscars always do this. You know, they so very rarely give it to somebody on the occasion of them doing work that meant anything. You know, Al Pacino gets stiffed for years and they give it to him for Scent of a Woman. I'm sure now Annette Bening has to do something really crappy, I think, to get an Oscar now that she's lost it three times.
How old is she
doing
now?
Good performances. She's probably, what, 50-ish?
Give her 10 years from now. They'll give her something 10 years from now.
Yeah.
She'll be like 65 and they'll
Yeah, she'll be in the remake of Driving Miss Daisy
right,
or something.
Yeah, and they'll give it to her for that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
My only complaint, I only have one complaint.
What's your
really complaint? One real complaint, and that's Jafar Panahi.
That was, you'd think they could have found a little, like, 2 minutes.
Now, I know that everybody in that room knew who he was because there's an entire list of names.
Yeah, all these people signed a petition
to
Amnesty
International
or whatever.
Spoken out about it, and Jafar Panahi is this Iranian filmmaker.
And there's a second one too, right?
Jafarpanahi. Jafar Panahi.
There's a second filmmaker who was also
is there?
Yes, and I forget his name. But if you Google Jafar Panahi, this other guy's name will come up too, I'm sure.
Well, Jafar Panahi was sentenced to 6 years in prison for making movies.
Yeah.
And he makes amazing movies. He makes really terrific movies. He made The Circle, he made Crimson Gold. He made Offside. He made The White Balloon. If you haven't seen any of those movies, go to Netflix and watch them, because you should watch them because they're fantastic. And he just made movies about the world that he lives in, and his own government has put him in prison for making subversive films. And no one said a word.
Yeah, and
last
which
night
is surprising
about this guy in prison.
Because
and they should.
The
like, that should be their thing.
The
they
Hollywood community
that.
Has actually been sort of vocal about it. And at the LA Film Critics Dinner, you know, when Paul Mazursky got his Career Achievement Award, he was wearing a white ribbon. And he spoke out about Jafar Panahi, and Amnesty International took out an ad in our program. And like you said, a lot of huge directors and actors signed this open letter that Amnesty International sent to the Iranian government. So, yeah, it seemed like this would have been the perfect opportunity for that sort of thing. And it does seem kind of surprising that they let it go.
I want to know how long it's going to be before Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh attacks the president for liking As Time Goes By.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
They'll find something.
How dare he? I will say there was one thing I did like this year that they did was that they got people to not applaud during the obit reel. Because then it became a contest of like who got the most applause.
I don't remember that happening. Did they applaud earlier?
In other years? Oh, yeah. So like big applause, then like somebody less than anything, be like, you know, like
that. That cinematographer was my uncle.
Exactly. It was always kind of awkward. I felt bad for the less famous dead people. So this year they were like, okay, nobody claps until the whole thing's over.
Right.
You know, because God forbid we miss a note of Celine Dion. You know, whatever the reasons were.
She's the greatest singer alive.
And her babies are miracles.
She's miracle babies.
Miracle babies.
I saw that this week on TV. She brought her miracle babies out on television.
On Oprah. And Oprah. What the hell was Oprah doing presenting Best Documentary?
Because Oprah owns the documentaries now.
She owns all the documentary.
But that's her thing now is documentaries.
Yes, the documentary club.
She has a club or something.
Yeah.
And do people, is it a club where people make documentaries?
No, I think they watch
about them. Oprah?
I think the idea is that they watch them. Like she's trying to encourage people to watch documentaries now because.
Is there a list?
Is there
a watching list?
I don't know. You're the one who's the nut on Oprah.
I'm not the nut on Oprah. I just want to know what's going on.
All I know is that
she's part of what's going
on. She acquired Becoming Chaz for her network.
Is it going to be on TV? It's not going to be in theaters?
I don't know how they're going to work that out, but it is eventually going to be on OWN. I don't know.
Okay.
So now she's the queen of all documentaries. So they brought her out to present documentaries. I'm like, oh, God.
She's a member of the Academy.
Is she?
She was a nominee, remember?
Well, they nominated her for Best Supporting Actress in 1980, whatever.
That
doesn't always make you a member, though.
Doesn't it? If you're a nominee, you don't automatically become a member?
No.
I thought you did.
No.
You sure?
Yes.
How sure are you?
I'm positive about this.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, that kid from The Sixth Sense is not an Academy member.
Dakota Fanning is.
Well, good for her.
Well, he's a nominee.
And she hasn't been nominated, so there you go. So, no, you do not get automatic membership just by being a nominee. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. In any event.
You might need to go do your homework.
Somebody pointed out that they should have introduced her as Oscar loser Oprah Winfrey. And let's not forget the year that Whoopi Goldberg hosted and she came out in the costumes from the movies.
From Velvet Goldmine.
But she also came out in the Beloved costume, remember?
Did she?
Yes.
I don't remember.
So she had the Velvet Goldmine costume. She dressed as Queen Elizabeth I from Shakespeare Love. And then she came out as a slave. And she was like, that was an edgy Oscar moment.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah.
All I remember is the Velvet Goldmine costume.
Right. No. She wore the Beloved outfit, too.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So that's over.
Are we done? Is it 30 minutes?
So we can all, it's getting there. So we can all shut up about the Academy Awards for.
No, you shut up.
No, you shut up. You know what? And we forgot to read last time. We did get an email from a listener, and I'm now blanking on what it said. I sent it to you.
It had five questions that we should be asking.
Oh.
Can you believe it won?
No, not that email.
Can you? Can you believe it won? I can't believe it won.
So our friend Vinny sent us these
five. What about what she was wearing?
Five generic Oscar questions.
Can you even believe what she was wearing?
Okay, never mind.
It sucked what she was wearing.
I will dig up the letter from last time and we'll do it next time. Along with any other mail anybody wants to send our way to linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at linoleumcast. And we will be starting a Facebook page. I swear, I want a good picture to go on it, but we'll make that happen.
I ruin photographs.
We'll make it happen. We'll make it work. Thank you for joining us, and let's not think about awards for a good 6 months at least. Maybe like 10 would be nice.
Let's think about the Wolfman.
Oh.